You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the 602 Club.
There was a little bar in Mill Valley where all the Starfleet trainees used to go.
The 602 Club.
You know it.
I was there more times than I can remember.
I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone. Never allowing myself to lose control, even for a moment, or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am.
Welcome everyone to Trek FM's local watering hole. We are coming at you live. That's right, live or somewhat live or pre-recorded, whatever it is, from the Fortress of Solitude. And I'm so excited to be here tonight. It's going to be a little bit different than our normal 602 clubs. We're going to do something a little bit special. For me, it was my birthday yesterday, and I just wanted to do something different. So before we dive into that and I let you know who's here with me, just remember that you can find all of the shows for Trek FM on iTunes at itunes.com/TrekFM. We're a feature provider there. So while you're there, hit us up with a star rating and review, because right now we've got the review contest going on, and everybody who's ever reviewed the show will be able to be in the drawing for a copy of Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition, digital edition copy. We'll be ending that around the end of July, so just make sure you get your review in, and it really does help out the show, because it helps more people find the show, so really appreciate all those who have gone out there and done that already. Find us all over the place. Twitter, Trek FM, Facebook, facebook.com/TrekFM. You know we have the Babel Conference, our listeners-only discussion group, and we'd love to get some voicemails from people. It's been a while. Go to speakpipe.com/TrekFM, and of course, if you'd like to shoot us an email, go to trek.fm/contact, choose the show, the 602 Club, and that'll come straight to me and whoever is hosting that week. So, well, John, I'm so glad you're here tonight, because one, we met through podcasting. You've become like a brother to me. And you share a love for something that we're going to talk about tonight.
Man, there are a couple of things that I don't think I should talk about publicly that I have a love for. So I'm glad it's Superman tonight. So, yeah, no, you're right, Matt. We did meet through podcasting. And, yeah, this is going to be fun. I applaud your choice of topics. I really do.
Well, thank you. I mean, what's great about this episode that you're going to be on is that you will be able to say the words super and man together without fear of, you know, having to drink some sort of disgusting beverage pretending to have something to do with margaritas and fruit and beer.
Or tomato sauce or anything like that. Or Clamato. Oh, please. No,
that's
Clamato
right.
Again. Yeah, no, it's nice to be talking about the last son of Krypton without fear of retribution. It is. It's very liberating. It's very liberating.
Well, it's good. It's good. It's like you have blasted off in a spaceship toward your brand new home and found yourself imbibed with incredible powers.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, I wanted to kind of just start off the conversation this way, and we'll be free-flowing a little bit more than we even usually do here on the show, but Superman is a character who's, you know, we both know he's been around for 75 years, and he's the first superhero, you know, other than, you know, Greek gods and whatnot. And so I wanted to ask you, what drew you to the character, and then what's kept you kind of coming back to the character for so many years?
I grew up with Superman. You know, like, I can't fathom a childhood where that 1978 Richard Donner movie didn't exist. Like, it's just, Superman has just been a part of my entire sort of like entertainment world. Not just mine, but, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody, especially in our age range. You know, you grew up with the Superman movies, Christopher Reeve Superman movies. Like, that,
it's true.
It was just ingrained in you. And so I came to the comic books after that. But for me, the indelible impression of Superman that I've always come back to is that guy that was, not saying it pejoratively, but that very innocent gee whiz type of guy that, he, you know, he has power. His interest in everything isn't in self-aggrandizement, but in, you know, helping people, being just being a good guy. Like, I think that what has kept everybody coming back to Superman through time is, here's a guy who can rule the entire planet if he were to wish it. Who's going to stop him? And yet his choice, his moral center is, it's just not the right thing to do. He, you know, he's not doing it because of some, you know, misguided sense of scale or proportion. He's, or fear. He's doing it because he was raised knowing what right from wrong. And I think that's real. I think that's really what his endurance is. That's why everybody keeps coming back to him.
I you know, growing up just like you, Superman, my first exposure really was, you know, I think, you know, there were cartoons as a kid, you know, Adventures of Superman, old cartoons like that, to Super Friends, that kind of stuff would still, you know, be on TV if you caught it at the right time. But the first introduction probably really was, for me, the 78 film. And, you know, Christopher Reeve does a masterful job of portraying Superman. And really, in a lot of ways, I think, a lot of people think that, you know, that is Superman, like, that's straight out of the comic Superman, but there's a lot of that movie that's very different from the comics. And so, but he set such an indelible mark on so many people of what Superman meant that it's been hard for anybody to overcome that.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is, I'm glad you say that, because, like, it was so easy. I think that really the testament to why the 1978 movie has really just remained so firmly planted in everybody's consciousness as what the character is specifically because the structure of it, the way that it's, the way that it would have been so easy to go down the road of, and that Donner indulges just a little bit, is sort of acknowledging the ludicrousness of the idea, right? Like, it's sort of an idea where, even though we live in an age where we sort of, like, we take our muddled half understandings of science and our presumptive greater understanding of it than we truly have, and we try to, like, make every, you know, oh, Batman's grappling hook could work this way if,
right.
And oh, well, you know, I'm going to make a reference here. I don't know how many people will get it, but there's a movie called Hollywood Shuffle with a bit called Sneaking in the Movies, where they, and it's a spoof movie, and there's a part where the two guys are watching the Chicago Jones movie, and they, like, jump off a mountain and they make it okay. And this one guy's sitting there, he's like, well, no, if you jumped off the mountain at just the right way and the wind current caught you, like, Donner doesn't go down that road at all. He goes down the slightly spoofy take of it, but the reason that Reeve remains indelible to the character is because he's like the guy that the kids were making fun of in school who pretended not to notice and just said, you know what? I don't care what you say. I am who I am, and I'm going to keep, like, he's possessed. It's not of a pompousness, but of a self-assuredness that if somebody were to make fun of him, he's not, it, like, he just sort of rolls with it. He's just like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to show you who I really am, and if you don't like it, I mean, you know, I know that I'm rambling here, but you know, there's this whole thing where I think that our understanding of Superman now is informed in a lot of ways by the cynicism that's expressed in Kill Bill Volume 2, where Bill has that long diatribe. It was like, oh, Superman is dressing up like us to hide his blood, and this is what he thinks of us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I make the argument that the strength of the 78 movie is that Clark Kent is really who Kal-El is at that point. And the reason for his secret identity is not because he has disdain for us, not because he is trying to be, you know, something he's not, but he's a guy from, you know, the Midwest who grew up very simple and is just, he's just happy to be alive and be around, man. That's it.
I think what, for me, one of the enduring things about Superman is that Superman is an outsider. You know, Superman is somebody who will never truly fit in, but that doesn't keep him from trying to. And that doesn't keep him. And that's why I think that he has the Clark Kent moniker, is that he, I think he realizes that if he doesn't connect to humanity in that way, if he doesn't try to be human.
Yeah.
Then a good part of him would probably be more likely to become farther and farther removed. And I reference Watchmen. You know, he would become Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point.
But, you know, Superman's choice to, well, and it helps. He's raised by, you know, human parents. He doesn't know he's not human for a while, you know, as a child, until all these powers start showing up. And I think, though, he keeps the Clark Kent moniker because he needs that connection to humanity. He needs to be, he wants to understand what it's like to be human, even though he'll never be human.
Sure.
And, you know, I think to me as well, Superman is an interesting dark mirror, I don't mean like dark mirror as like a bad person, but a mirror darkly of what I feel like Jesus' experience on Earth had to be, like to really become human and God all at the same time and experience what it was like day in and day out. You know what I'm saying? Like Superman does that every day as well as Clark Kent, and I think it just makes for a really interesting picture and connection to humanity. And because he chooses to live among us as one of us, it makes him much more relatable, and it keeps him related to us. And I really like, that's what, to me, it's one of the indelible parts of the character, because, you know, people say Superman's not relatable, but to me, he's the most relatable of the superheroes because he's just a normal guy, really, who ends up being somebody who's imbibed with all of these powers. And really, he just wants to be normal a lot of the time, you know? Like,
right.
But how many of us feel like that? We just want to be normal. We just want to be accepted. We just want to be loved. And we just want to help out where we can. And yet, so many times, we kind of feel ostracized or to the one side. And I think Superman is just a great character for that, because really, he's utterly one of the most relatable characters in comic book, I think, that's been created.
Well, I think it's very important. You hit on, you know, he doesn't want to do anything but fit in. And there's so many different ways that could be taken and so many different ways you could come at it. But I think that the real baseline of it, the thing that where it really functions, is that you could say, well, why doesn't he just be himself and leave it up to other people? Is that is the sad aspect of it, is that he knows that he can't be himself, right? He can't just walk in and be like, I'm indestructible and perfect and wonderful, and people aren't going to accept that. He understands that, and that's sort of like the sadder part of it, and that's why I think that he winds up being, in a sense, a champion of the nerd, you know, like that constantly. I remember walking around and having, you know, that feeling of like, yeah, I don't like everything you guys do, and you don't like everything I do. And so, you know, like that sort of like sad feeling of like, I just want to share with everybody like what I think is so special and wonderful. But I want to ask you, we're sitting here and I'm definitely approaching it through the lens of Christopher Reeve's interpretation of the character. What is it that, and it's no secret that you loved Man of Steel, you loved Batman versus Superman, right? That you've talked about that on here on your show.
Right.
Do you see the character the same way? What is it that you think is proving so difficult for people to connect with this different interpretation of Superman? Why is it that people can't move on from Christopher Reeve and go for this slightly different? I mean, I know from my perspective, but I want to get, how do you see it? Why? What do you see the disconnect as? What are people not seeing that you do?
Well, I think that, I mean, I'm glad you asked the question because I think it's something that's really fascinating to me. I don't understand why people don't get it, but what I get, especially from the new films, is that it's the same Superman, it's just a different question. The original film, the 78 film, you know, Clark is very formed as a person. And then, you know, he kind of disappears for 12 years. He goes to space school with his, you know, with Jor-El. He learns all of these things. He's just gone from humanity. Like, you know, it's almost like the wilderness travels for Jesus for 30 days, you know, 40 days in the desert. But Superman has that for like 12 years.
Right.
He disappears. He learns how to be who he's going to be. He gets taught all these things. And he comes back and he is just Superman, you know. But what I like about the new films is that there's more of a journey for the character of like, why does this character choose to do this? And Snyder even said recently in an interview that I really appreciate about him, because I feel like he gets the character of Superman to me. He gets it. And because he asked the question, why does he choose to be who he is? What are the things in his life that have made him choose who he is? Because, you know, any of the superheroes, they choose to do what they do. Batman's, you know, we know his so well, it's so easy because his parents died and he's, you know, funneling that rage into trying to keep other people's, you know. But Superman, it's a bigger question. Like, you know, yes, he can help all these people, but why does he choose to be good? Why does he, instead of evil, why does he choose to help in the way he does? Why does he choose to be Clark Kent and Superman? You know, I mean, it's so rich of a tapestry to try and unravel and actually see. And so for me, what's interesting is putting that question in a modern context where, as you kind of mentioned, we live in this, you know, this very cynical age. And so the happy-go-lucky Superman, I think people want that, but they don't know how to have it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like if you put that on screen, everybody would be like, oh, really? Like, Tristan Riddell said this on our Batman v Superman commentary. It's like, I feel like people always want Superman to be like winking and smiling at the camera every single moment. But I feel like asking serious questions about a character who's been around for 75 years on screen at this point and taking him seriously and watching his journey, for me, is just utterly fascinating. Because he's getting there, but it's not like it's an easy process, you know? And to me, to watch Superman have to struggle with all the same questions that I do, but have all the power that he does, and still come out making the right decision, to me, that's a powerful lesson. You know, I think about our world today, and that if, you know, if the wrong person had this kind of power, it'd be over.
Sure.
And, you know, so to me, it's the journey, you know, and I appreciate getting to watch the character make these decisions. And a lot of the ways that the New 52 ask these questions as well, because they created a younger Superman, one who is more in his formative years, and he was still learning what it meant to be Superman, and it was still a journey for him. He still had things where he needed to grow and mature and all of that. And I think, I don't know, I'd rather have that than the paragon of virtue that has nothing to learn, because to me that's kind of boring. And I think at least with the 78 Superman, Superman's kind of like that. He's the paragon of virtue. He doesn't really have anything to learn, so he's not a very interesting character for that movie. But then you get to Superman 2, which I don't know if it's really a better film. I don't think it is.
It isn't.
but it's interesting because that Superman has a lot more nuance to him. You know, he also makes some morally questionable decisions. We talked before the show, John, about what kind of a jerk Superman is when he goes and beats the guy up at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of a jerk move. Well, it's not kind of. It is a jerk move.
Yes, it is. It is a jerk move, but I think it definitely serves to illustrate the entire idea of, you know, the fact that Superman is making that conscious choice that he could have. I mean, he goes back and he beats up the guy in the old truck stop, but he could have completely demolished him. And so,
well, he just would have been dead with the flick of a finger,
right,
if he wanted.
There's still the restraint. I mean, I think that the whole Zack Snyder interpretation, like what he intends to get at, is not the only counterpoint I would offer is that it's not Snyder's intent, I think, that is the hurdle for a lot of people like myself. Like I see where he's trying to go. I just, the way that he puts things together, you know, from my perspective, is what doesn't work. Like he that's what blunts the arc. But you had mentioned how, you know, the Christopher Reeve Superman is indelible and is there and is sort of a time capsule, but isn't necessarily the character as he was in the comics. Now, do you think that the character was in a different place in the comics in the 1970s, and then they turned around and went, basically they were trying to get away from that? Or do you think that, given the comic book history, what is the truest expression of Superman? What is the consistent thread? If you were to make a Superman movie, you're being brought in as a consultant on Man of Steel 2, Dawn of Justice 3, Ultimate something, right? You're brought in as a story consultant. What is the expression of Superman that is in the comics, the essence that you're going to pull out of it? From what era?
I think that's a really great question. And the hardest thing, and there's a really just great book out there, John. And I know that I believe you actually bought it for your friend Craig for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And to me, it really helps kind of explain this whole idea of Superman. And it's called Superman: The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. And the author, Larry Tye, does a really good job of talking about how, you know, each decade, you know, at each, you know, 15 years or whatever, the Superman that generation kind of needs is kind of what we get. And that, you know, so Superman has had some things that about him kind of stay consistent, but there are also a lot of things about him that kind of change over time, and there's a different reflection. It's almost as if you're looking at a crystal on a different side, you know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changes the reflection on the wall, and I feel like Superman is a lot like that. And so it's hard to say, like, oh man, if this is the quintessential, you know, comic. To me, one of the pinnacle examples of who Superman is in the comics would be Kingdom Come.
Interesting. That's the same one I would have pulled.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. And it is because Superman has lived so long that he feels himself to have become irrelevant because he hadn't been able to do the one thing that I think meant the most to him, which was to save Lois Lane. And the person who connected him the most with humanity. And the world begins to run amok, you know, with all these other superheroes taking it out. And something happens that causes Superman to basically come out of retirement and be like, that is enough.
Right.
And him and Batman and Wonder Woman join forces again in the end. And they put things right. And Superman retires back to his life in Kansas with his new wife, girlfriend. And they have a child, Wonder Woman, which it's just a fascinating, beautiful story. But to me, it's like Superman is a person, if I boiled it down, who wants to do good with his power and be a light for others to do good.
Right. He's a person that can't be dissuaded from helping. Like, I think that...
Right, exactly.
But I think that is possibly what is... I think that people on a level, to speak to, you know, not connecting with Snyder, what Snyder is attempting to do, is I think that there is on some level a desire of the audience, even for people who say they don't like the character, that they want to see Superman be the guy who, even when he's made fun of, even when he takes abuse, even when people call him outsider, even when people are suspicious of him, he cannot resist the urge to help. He can't not do it. And so I would say that there is actually a movie that I think is much maligned. And I think I talked about this one on this show previously, Superman Returns. And there's the scene. There are two scenes. One is after he comes back and he goes up and he's sort of floating in space and you hear him listening to everything that's going on in the world. And then he comes in like just like a speeding bullet, if you will, and then just goes around the world. And you can like tell that he was up there listening and prioritizing. He's like, okay, I got to go here. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do that and go. And he runs around and gets everything.
He had the ultimate like Palm Pilot at that point in yeah. time, you know, like he's prioritizing the list.
But see, I think it would be really, really interesting for them to explore the idea of exactly how brilliant Superman has to be on a lot of levels, because you mentioned Craig, who I got the book for before, and he's a big fan of saying he doesn't like Superman because he's a dummy from Kansas, which is incredibly dismissive. It's flyover country mentality that drives me up a wall, because it's so, and I've said this to him, so I'm not talking behind his back on air or anything like that, but it's so ridiculously dismissive of anybody who doesn't come from like a major metropolitan center that it infuriates me. But there is very much this idea that Superman is not just making the decision of who to be, not just trying to fit in, but is aware on a level higher than you or I are of everything that's wrong in the world, right? Way more aware of it. And he has become an expert at prioritizing and understanding. I mean, I would say that the character understands better than anybody the idea of, I can't save everyone. It's an impossibility. And so I think that what really needs to be appreciated about the character, and what I think might not be coming across in Snyder's version, is that the Clark Kent suit that he wears every day protects not just himself and a secret identity, but it protects the world, because he's making the conscious decision of, I can't be there. I can't set the expectation for everybody that I'm going to be there 24/7. People really, on a certain level, you're going to have to figure it out yourself, guys. I'm just one person. I can't save everybody.
Well said, yeah. I think that's brilliant, John. And I actually think that the Snyderverse actually does a good job of doing that, because especially Man of Steel, you know, he has the great conversation with Lois Lane, and he's like, well, maybe I'll just stop helping people. And she's like, well, I don't think that's really an option for you.
Right.
You know, because he keeps having to move his life in this transient existence that he's had, because he keeps using his powers to help people. He can't help himself. You know, like he is living embodiment of, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and he understands that. And so if he can save somebody, he's going to try. And I think that's really beautiful. I think the most interesting question, and I'd say it's even more explicit in the Ultimate Edition of BVS, so I encourage everybody to watch it, even if you didn't really like the movie, because I think the themes actually do play out better because they have more time to play and more scenes that help support them all. This Superman, and especially in Snyder's universe, he wants to be that, but the world is having a hard time letting him because... Somebody even says it, one of the commentators, you know, every action is a political action.
Yeah. You know,
so for this Superman, every time he acts, somebody's slapping him down, you know, like telling him it was wrong for him to go help, you know, and but he knows intrinsically it is the right thing to do. But the world we live in, the right thing is not always the most politically correct thing to do. And, how do you be Superman in that universe? And I think that's a really interesting question. And Snyder has actually hit on a very meta theme of that we live in a world that doesn't really care about doing what's right anymore. We only care about what's doing politically correct. And a person like Superman, where he's just worried about... I love the scene where the guy's like, maybe he's not a Jesus figure or a Moses. Maybe he's just a guy out there trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to let him do the right thing because they're all putting on him their motivations and their thoughts. And of course, the whole film is Lex Luthor is legitimately having him followed so that everywhere he goes, setting up destruction. So it looks bad for Superman. The press game's not good for him because bad things keep happening around him that he doesn't have control over. So yeah, to me, it creates such a fascinating question because, again, I think that what Snyder's grabbing at is that we want this, but we have no idea how to have it anymore because we've come so far from the idea that there is really right or wrong. It's just about something completely different. And I don't even know what that is anymore, John.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a fair point. I do want to say that... I forget the title of it, but the whole thing in Man of Steel of him being like Kane from Kung Fu going around helping people, yet trying to maintain his secret identity is that from Birthright or is that from Superman for All Seasons?
It's from Birthright.
You're right. Yeah, because Superman for All Seasons, yes, is mm-hmm. different, but does have, yeah. And those are two other great books that I think people.
Oh, fantastic. Birthright's. Brilliant.
Yeah, but Birthright
so
is...
Mark Waid really did a great job.
And I think Red Sun is also an interesting sort of examination of culturally what would have been different if Superman landed elsewhere. Like, you know, like, would he have still been essentially the same person and how much... Like, that's a fascinating one because how much of Superman... Is so let me pose that question to you. How much of Superman do you think has to do with where his ship happened to land and how much of it is just intrinsically him? Because that's in Red Sun, that's the question that they're wrestling with is, you know, how much of Superman is just who he is from the get-go and how much of it is who his adoptive parents were?
Well, I mean, when you ask the question of nature versus nurture, I honestly think that it's a little bit of both, but more on the side of nurture. I mean, you don't have to teach a kid to be bad, right? I mean, John, you've got kids, and I don't think you had to ever teach them how to do wrong.
That's true. I haven't had to. It's a conscious decision to teach them how to do wrong. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But, I mean, you do spend all of your time trying to teach them what is right. And, you know, I think... Superman is very much that character that it's the most important thing for him to have had parents that taught him those moral lessons of and virtues of what's right and wrong and good and evil and where honor and loyalty and trust and truthfulness and all of those things, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, where they all come from, you know, and why we hold these truths to be self-evident, you know, that all men are created equal. And that means that Clark then and Superman treats people as if they're all equal.
Right.
And so I do think that it is preeminent, that if you don't have Superman land and get picked up by two wonderful people who are willing to, one, take in an orphan, and two, when they find out what this kid can do, they still stick with him.
Right. They don't shirk their responsibility loyalty when they find out that it's going to be difficult.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what a wonderful example of personal responsibility and loyalty and love that Superman grows up with. So even if other people don't accept him, they do.
Right.
And you notice that Superman's best friends are the ones who accept him for who he is, especially when they know his secret, like Lois Lane or Jimmy Olsen or the members of the Justice League, like, you know, how Batman and him become such good friends in a lot of the comics, in the sense that Superman can hand him kryptonite and say, if I ever go off the rails, you know what to do. And Batman say, I do. I know exactly what to do.
Now, see, I think that's interesting that you hit on that, because while you were talking, I was thinking about how the one Superman analogous character, because Marvel and DC, like growing up, they were like the WWF and the NWA. And I mean, NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, not the rap band, although not taking anything away from them because they were great. But there were always analogous characters, you know, like there was almost a competition. It was like Transformers and GoBots. You know, there was a one-to-one. It was like, okay, they got this character. Who's going to be this one over in GoBots now? But Colossus from X-Men is, I think, like a real exploration of like Superman as well, if he were raised, you know, on the other side of the Atlantic. You know, superpowers, good people, just culturally from a different, you know, he supports a different idea of what a good culture is and stuff like that. But that's sort of like, you know, tangential. I think that with Superman, it's extremely telling that there's this character here who really is that exploration of maybe the thing that doesn't relate now for the character. Let me put this out there, is maybe the thing that people are having trouble relating to now is this idea of maintaining a public and a personal persona. I think that possibly especially in the era of social media, there's no thought of private me versus public me, right? Like when I put on my button-down shirt and I put on my tie and I carpool into work, they're getting a version of me when I go into work. It's still me. I'm still who I am, but it's tailored for the situation, right? I might curse a little less at work. I might not indulge I'm not having a beer at 4 o'clock at work, much as I'd like to, you know, that sort of thing. And then when I come home, maybe I'm a little freer with my opinions because I know I don't need to worry about treading on anybody's toes or anything like that. So do you think that there's a hurdle now with people as well? Because we have completely burned out of existence, in a sense, the idea that there is a difference between public me and personal me.
That's an interesting question. I think, let's say BVS, I think, answers this question. And again, the Ultimate Edition does a much better job in showing, because there's a bunch more scenes with Clark Kent being an investigative reporter and investigating the Batman and trying to get at the bottom of things. And so when he makes that little speech to Perry in the room, you've already seen him investigating more. And talking about, you know, that the press has a responsibility to help and all those things. So what you see there is that for Clark, he's the same person as Superman in the sense that he's still trying to hold up the little guy, be there for everyone and help. He's just trying to use his pen to do it instead of his, you know, his brawn.
Right.
It's still the same guy. You know, I would push back and say that even though we live in a world of social media and everything, it's still a facade, you know, because and especially with social media, I can put out there whatever I want and nobody has to know it's me if I'm good. You know, like nobody will know that it's me. I could say the most awful things, and people do all the time. We see it all the time. I mean, just look at what a celebrity might face, whether you like them or not. They don't deserve the vitriol that people throw at them, you know, the harsh and incredibly crass, disgusting language that gets thrown at them. Nobody deserves that. But we all think that just because we're behind some, you know, computer screen, typing away in our underwear, that we're okay. You know, we can say whatever we want. So I don't necessarily know if we still don't have that. It's just another facade that we put up.
So you would say almost in a sense that we're all being Clark Kent / Kal-El, in the sense that we're controlling very much the us that people know, and that the, like,
yes,
in a sense, Superman has the luxury of, not luxury, but I'm struggling for a better word, but Superman has people around him that he can be himself, because you speak about people who accept him for who he is. And so he can exist in a space, at least, where he's surrounded by people, real people, who are supporting him, lovingly supporting him, being who he is. But he has this ultimate control of how the world sees him because of Clark Kent. It's just that the dichotomy between the two is much, much more distinct for Superman than we want to admit about it. Like, the line for us between reality and unreality, we've pulled in even closer. And so sometimes, maybe even in the era of social media, maybe what people don't relate with about Superman is they've made themselves so cynical because they're no longer being even honest with the people that are around them about what they really think, that they're sort of plugging into.
I think that's because
the thing is, like, the whole thing I'm trying to figure out is, why is there this need to reinvent Superman? And then why is this reinvention rejected? With the social media stuff, like, is it possible that on some level people want that old Christopher Reeve Superman because he represented an undying hope and innocence that we ourselves don't feel anymore? Like, we're looking for somebody to say, to, in a sense, absolve us, allow us through escapism to absolve ourselves for kind of being a bunch of cynical jerks nowadays.
Yeah, ooh, that's a good, I think you might have hit it on the head in some ways, because, you know, again, when you look, if you think through, especially the Snyderverse, in that vein, you can see this person, this Superman, trying to be that, but he's constantly buffeted up against the cynicism, and that cynicism does have an effect on him, you know. This is the thing I like about the Snyderverse, is that Superman is not above having feelings. He's not above being human. He's raised as a human, you know. He has all the same feelings that we do. He has to work to control them much more than we do, like, you know, almost like a Vulcan in Star Trek, because if not, I mean, it would be a catastrophe. And so I think that's one of the things that really just makes, again, the idea so interesting. And I really do think, John, that as we look back in the coming years, and as this, you know, DC universe continues to grow, I really do think that this Superman is going to become more and more important because of the journey he has taken. Because I do think that seeing a character choose good and right with all the power that he has, and choose to give his life for people that really don't even like him, and make sure that they all have the ability to live and he might not, is the same thing I saw in Dallas when some police officers gave their life for people that were protesting police. And they didn't think twice to run towards danger. And it's like, it's so in BVS, is this, what does Superman do? He flies towards danger, whether it's going to cost him his life or not, to save a world that isn't sure it even wants him around. You know? And so, to me, that's so powerful when I think of the world in which we live. And I think it will continue to grow because, you know, as he comes back and everything, he's inspired a movement now, a movement towards betterment, you know, a Batman finding purpose again, a Wonder Woman deciding it's maybe it's time to come out of retirement, you know, other metahumans coming together to try and do good. That's powerful stuff. Like, one person can't change the future, the course of the future of the world. And Superman does that, I think, by choosing to be good when he doesn't have to be good because he could get away with whatever the hell he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he chooses to do with his power. In the same way, you know, God could just wipe out all of existence and just be done with it and go enjoy himself, but he doesn't choose to do that.
I mean, I think one of the things I struggle with is I get what you're saying. I know what you're saying, and I'm not debating the Snyderverse at all. Like, that's not what I'm going for. But I almost wonder if there's a sense as well, you know, taking a different sort of line of thought of, is it possible that Superman, even more so than some of the other comic book characters that have been out there, has he been explored enough? Is it time for, we hold on to these characters and we reinvent them. I will say the same thing about Batman. I love Batman, but I mean, that's like saying you love bacon. Everybody loves bacon, right? Like, yeah, seriously, true. Like, I love Batman. Uh-huh.
Do you like, yes, Batman?
Great. Duh. I'm glad you like water. That's cool. And we keep reinventing Batman to be, symbolic of the times and stuff like that. Is it possible that these two characters are, in a sense, like, are we having a moment like Spock in Star Trek VI? Have we become so old as to have outlived our usefulness? Is it possible that Superman, we're in this very difficult point where I think that Superman, Batman, James Bond, these guys stay with us to a large degree through nostalgia. And is it time for these characters just to hang it up? Or, you know, even if they continue making movies, go back to the time period they represent or that they came from? Do you think that there's any merit to that argument?
I'd say that the reason it's easier for people to accept, say, Batman, is Batman has continuously been reinvented, you know, since 1989. You know, they never stopped making Batman films.
66, really. I'm going to be a technical Batman jerk about
that.
Yeah,
you're right. No, 66 and then 89. And then, you know, we had Batman Returns and then, of course, Forever. And we just keep having this succession of Batmans. And so we're used to that. But I think about this, for an entire generation of people, there was only one Superman. It was Christopher Reeve. There weren't any other Supermans. And then when we tried to redo Superman the first time, it was just a homage so much to Christopher Reeve that it didn't feel different. In fact, people were kind of bored with
it. And of course, you're talking about the Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Superman Returns.
Oh, see?
No, I'm talking about Superman Returns. So the first time that we really tried to create a new version of Superman, and a lot like the way that Nolan had done with Batman, is with what Nolan Snyder did with Man of Steel. But it doesn't have the history that Batman's had, where we're kind of used to every three or four films, you get a new Batman and you kind of get a new interpretation. And, you know, or the same thing with, you mentioned James Bond. We're totally used to James Bond being new every four to five films. So it's just in its DNA. With Superman, I think the struggle is it hasn't been part of the zeitgeist of Superman for so long to be really explored. And I think you're exactly right. It is time for us to explore Superman and the questions about him in a new and different way in the context of the world in which we live. And that's what Snyder is doing. People just don't like it because, you know what? Superman hasn't changed, but the world in which Superman's trying to serve has. And the reflection that we don't like is not Superman. The reflection is the world around Superman.
Interesting.
I think that's the big issue. And because, again, watch BVS. Superman is trying to do the right thing, and at every turn, it is turning to total crap. Part of that is, but the biggest part is Lex Luthor is doing it on purpose. But even when he's trying to help, in the smallest area, you know, people are questioning it. You know, like saving the rocket that blew up, or, you know, saving the people from the flood, or dragging that boat that was in trouble, you know, across the ice. You know, it just seems like people, it doesn't matter what he's trying to do, it's just not good enough. And I think that's the thing, is that the world doesn't even know what it wants anymore. And so, yes, I think it is definitely time to continue to explore this character in greater depth. And I gotta say, you know, to me, one of the highlights over this last year has been really digging into the DC canon and reading all these comics. Like, you know, I just reread Thy Kingdom Come by Jeff Johns. I've read all of the Crisis books. I've read, you know, For Tomorrow, which is fantastic with Superman. Obviously, I've read the Death and Return of Superman. I've read all of the New 52 and a lot of things leading up to that. These characters do have something to teach us, I think, still, and give us a good mirror to look at and ask good questions. And sometimes we just don't like the answers.
Yeah, I think that your comment about the world being different and that's what we don't like, I think that Superman very much, because Batman never explored the good and evil question the same way Superman did. Superman was born of an era where it was much less complicated for, you know, I mean, you know, let's first and foremost, let's face it, comic books come from the pulp fiction tradition. That's just where they're from, you know, like that. And they've grown up now with us. The generation that won't put their toys away. Not saying that as a dig. Obviously, I'm the same way.
Yeah, you got great toys on your wall.
My toys rock. But
I know, mine do too.
Right? You know, come on, jeez. but you know, we're the first generation that's really not putting their toys away. But at the same time, Superman, the original incarnation, and even the incarnation that we grew up with, belongs to an era where it was much less complicated for somebody just to come forward and make a very broad statement of this is good, this is bad, and we're a much more detail-focused world. And I think that the point you're hitting on, and again, I'm not debating Snyder or the success of the films on a technical level or anything like that, but to speak to your point about, you know, he's pulling the ship across and it's just not good enough, I think that you have a valid point in saying that one of the difficulties of connection is that the world in which we're living does not believe in any absolute anymore. And so, in a sense, has become so obsessed with the details of what you're trying to do as opposed to the overarching intent or even outcome. Because, for instance, let's take the end of Man of Steel, which plenty of people have a problem with. But to speak to your point about it, everybody points to, well, Metropolis still gets demolished. Superman doesn't lead them away from the city. All of those sorts of things. People are finding all of these problems with it. But at the same time, Superman traditionally belongs to the superhero trope of the ancillary damage, you just presume it's not as cataclysmic. You know, it gives you the out in the comic books when you see a city get destroyed.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
When you're a kid and you're reading it.
Because it happens in the comics a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, you want to talk about like the ultimate out. Like, you know, we grew up watching G.I. Joe where like the plane explodes. But everybody parachuted out. It's cool, guys. It's all good. Everybody made it out. You know, I mean, how many nobody died in G.I. Joe. It's a show about warfare and nobody got shot. So anyway, I think that, you know, that illustrates it more than anything. What I think you're saying is that we live in a world now where it's not enough that he kept the world from being terraformed or taken over by Zod or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What matters is, what about the property damage? What about the people that got hurt? And it's like, well, okay, yes, but he didn't intend for that to happen, and he was doing his best that he could, but the best isn't good enough. I think that's a very valid point. Again, I'm not debating the technical merits of anything Snyder did, but I think that point stands. I think your point stands with that.
And I like that you bring up this idea of, you know, we don't hold in it, for the most part, this world does not hold to any absolutes other than we absolutely disagree on just about everything. Yeah, if you don't do things the way that I want you to do them, then they're probably wrong, instead of having some sort of standard to look to. And for the longest time, the standard of Superman was truth, justice, and the American way. But that's not a thing anymore. Because, well, nobody believes in truth. Who knows what justice is anymore? And the American way, I don't even know what that is at this point. So who is the character? Because the things that which he stood upon, we've pulled out from under him.
I just figured it out while you're sitting there talking about it. And man, you helped me finally plug it in, because there's a song by the band Styx that has been an absolute favorite of mine ever since the first time I heard it, oh, so many years ago when I was a teenager. And I think that I could easily term this Superman's song, or the song for us relating to Superman. It's Show Me the Way by the band Styx. And are you familiar with the song? Because everybody knows Come Sail Away. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah. No, I think that I've heard it, but I think it's been
I highly while. Encourage you to listen to it, because what you were just saying, what it sounded like to me was, the whole song is about living in a world with disillusionment. The saints turn into sinners, you know, every day I'm more confused. And like, it talks about, and in a sense, it's universal what you're saying. Like, it feels in our moment, it feels like these are questions we're wrestling with for the first time. And that's not the case. So, because if you can reach all the way back to Show Me the Way by Styx, it is a universal, consistent question of what does it mean? How do I not lose hope as to, you know, the way the world is and the way that it's happening? So it's really interesting. That is the first time where I've connected Superman with that song. So I highly encourage you to listen to it and see if you get the same sort of read. Not necessarily that the song is about Superman. It definitely is not. But that it might be the perspective of somebody who wants a hero like Superman to show up. That's all I'll say about it. So that's my last two cents about the audience participation with Superman in the modern day.
No, I think that's a great thought, that if Superman returns, Superman says to Lois, you know, you wrote an article saying that the world doesn't need a savior.
Yes.
And he says, but I hear the world crying out for one every single day.
Right.
And I think that is the struggle with the character of Superman, is that Superman in the end is, for the most part, a Moses, Jesus-like savior type character. And yet, look at what we do to our savior-like characters. We tend to persecute them and crucify them and all sorts of really bad things, because we want somebody to tell us what to do and to tell us what's right and wrong, but at the same time, we don't. And, you know, Superman is a character that I think does show us the way to hope. You know, Superman is hope. You know, I love that birthright, that the S on the chest stands for hope. This symbol means hope. And I think that's really powerful, especially in a world in which we live today. And I think, to me, again, you know, when the latest movie, Superman embodied hope, because what the hope was is that there would be somebody willing to lay down his life for another. mm-hmm. whether it was a friend or an enemy. And that's a beautiful thing, you know. And I think that the best Superman comics show us that character, the one that imbibes hope, that will at all costs do what it takes to make sure he can save as many lives as possible. And I mean, I think, you know, for tomorrow, that's one of the things about that comic is Superman is anguished because he hasn't been able to figure out what's caused this vanishing and that he wasn't able to stop it. And Superman, he knows he can't save everybody, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to. And so it can drive him almost crazy when he can't make it happen, you know, mm-hmm. or he can't figure something out. And I think that's one of the things that we all love about him and what does draw us to that character, because goodness, don't we want that character to exist for real?
Oh, sure. Sure. And speaking of that character existing, as we're... you know, as we're winding down, what would be for you as a Superman fan, as a diehard Superman fan, somebody says to you, and I think it is too easy to have a list of five nowadays, so I'm going to make it tougher for you. And I think a list of three is just a jerk way to deal with it. So your four Superman titles that if you wanted somebody to become a Superman fan, if you wanted them to see the character that you see that is living in your head, what are the four titles? And obviously they can be trade paperbacks, they can be graphic novels, or even a single issue. Like if there's a special double issue that he jumped forth, what are the four titles that you would point somebody toward? Like unlimited money and somebody says, buy for this person the four titles that are necessary, go. What are they?
Well, I did mention Kingdom Come, and I think that's definitely on the list. I would say that Birthright would be another. I honestly would say, John, that the final days of Superman's run at the end of the New 52, where, spoiler alert, Superman finds out he's dying, really encapsulates, I think, the character of Superman. And I think I might choose For Tomorrow as well. I really love that comic, and there's so many others that I could choose, but I think if I really just wanted to have somebody understand Superman, that would be it. I guess if there was an alternate, it might be All-Star Superman, because that tends to encapsulate a lot of Superman. But what about you? Do you have a four, if you think comic-wise, that you would pick for people?
I would never presume to challenge anything that that you would put out there, because you're the Superman expert. But I would actually offer supplementally that, because I think Kingdom Come is key to understanding the character. I think that Birthright, I think that Superman for All Seasons is like it's one of the most beautiful mm-hmm. books I've ever yeah. read comic book wise. Like I can't get over that one. I think that I would offer, believe it or not, a Batman title as a good way for understanding Superman. And the first thing I'm going to say before I get to the one I am going to mention is that I think that a very key mistake, I think that Frank Miller poisoned the waters for Superman for a great number of years, because he's the one that reinvented Superman as a government stooge in The Dark Knight Returns.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that has gone a long way to damaging Superman's character, as it were. But I would throw out there Batman Hush for a great... it's a trade paperback now, but it was originally a run in the Batman comics, and I think that Hush is a great example. It's focused on Batman. It's a Batman story, but Superman shows up in it, and there is a very telling character exchange between Batman and Superman that I think goes a great way toward illustrating the key difference between the characters, the key moral underpinnings of the characters, and serves as a really good contrast without detracting from either one of them. So I would throw Batman Hush in there as something for good for getting your hooks into Superman.
I mean, and there's so many great things out there. You know, I was just, honestly, I think the New 52 had a lot of great things that it did with the character, especially starting with Greg Pak's run there in Action Comics, and then about that time what they were doing in the Superman series. So there's just a plethora of things you could talk about with Superman. I'm just really glad that we got a chance to just sit down and talk about this character, and I think... you know, I had no idea we would get so deep. I mean, we didn't even talk about the cartoons that there are, yeah. Like the animated series or the DC animated movies that they've done that have been so good. But maybe we'll revisit the character again one day. But I'm just glad we got a chance to do this. And we have great associate producers who let us do that. Ken Tripp and Davis Grayson, really appreciate them for supporting us through Patreon as associate producers. And we're a listener-supported network here on Trek FM, so we really need your help to make sure that all the content that we put out each and every week comes to you, and the best way to make sure that happens is to become a patron on Patreon. So just go to patreon.com/trekfm, and you can see how you can become part of our team and support an incredible content throughout the network and, of course, here on the 602 Club. So, John, this has been... an incredible day after my birthday to be able to sit here and talk about my favorite superhero and talk about him in such incredible, I think, philosophical depth. You know, I think that's one of the things is we talk to superheroes, they can lead to an incredible discussion when they're well written. And I think a character... 75 years, there's something they're doing right. So we've got probably plenty more years to go. But before we get out of here, I don't know about you, but Kryptonian beverages really aren't sitting so well with me. Where can we find you online?
Come on, guys. You know where to find me. Kessel Junkie on Twitter. You'll find me crawling around the Babel Conference from time to time. And you can also find me on another show on Trek FM, Stage 9. With the inimitable Michael Schindler, where we're exploring, you know, Star Trek creators when they're not making Star Trek, and we're having a lot of fun with that. And you can find me on a show called Words with Nerds that I do with my pal Craig, and a show that I also do with you, Matthew, called Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast over on the Nerd Party Network, where I think that this Superman conversation is a really good example of the type of ground that we cover. Over there. So.
Yes, it is. Actually, I think you're exactly right. We pretty much had that style of show here on the 602 Club, and it was just a joy.
Yeah.
And so if you enjoyed this, I think you're going to love Aggressive Negotiations.
But where else can people find you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at MattRushing02. I'm also here on the network doing The Orb with Chris Jones. We're talking about Deep Space Nine. We just actually put out a new episode recently. We're talking about Rapture, the episode Rapture, which we got some great conversation. So I hope everybody will check that out. Of course, I've got Literary Treks with Dan and Bruce. We talk about the books and comics of Star Trek and also interviewing the authors. It's a blast. So I hope everybody will enjoy that as well. And I just want to thank everybody so much for joining us. And y'all come back now, you hear?